How do you view the 2017 General Assembly going forward?
I think there are some good opportunities there. I think there's room for compromise. Certainly in the Senate, there is, I think, a real understanding that there are a couple things that have to be done. Number one is we have to pass a budget, but to do that, we have to address some of the financial problems, which is really the jobs issue. One of the reasons why Illinois is fighting for revenue is the fact that, you know, we have for years been the number one out-migration state with jobs leaving. So I think everyone knows we have to improve the jobs climate so we can keep and maintain jobs here and bring new jobs here. So to do that, we have to address some of the core reasons why companies are leaving or not coming to Illinois, and certainly workers' compensation is the top of the list. So we need to improve our jobs climate. That is part of the solution. And then second, we have to pass a budget. And to pass a budget means we have to balance the budget. And to balance the budget, we have to do two tough things. One is we have to add revenue. And second, we have to make cuts in those programs that may be good, but if we're not getting 100 cents on the dollar, we have to make some tough decisions. So to balance the budget, there has to be a combination of some cuts. We have to add more revenue, which means putting the temporary tax back on. And if we do those things and we improve the jobs climate, those things will then be a quick and easy solution. And if we get that done, Illinois moves forward.
What specific legislation do you intend to propose or co-sponsor in this new session?
Well, a couple things. One is certainly the workers' compensation issue. All we're looking for in Illinois is that our workers' compensation program is similar to what 49 other states are doing. We're not asking for anything that's way out there. Even with the reforms we're talking about, Illinois would have a better workers' comp program than our surrounding states do. But workers' comp reform has to be the number one issue, because when you talk to Caterpillar, John Deere, other large employers, work comp is their number one issue. And for local governments and for the state of Illinois, workers' compensation is a huge cost. And so if we can address workers' comp, that's going to help really deal with budgetary issues as well as job issues. So that will be one. The second issue I'm going to continue to work on is the gaming bill. Illinois loses about $1.6 billion last year, went to the five surrounding states as people went to the surrounding states to do gaming. We need some additional casinos as a way to counteract what other states are doing to us, but as a way to also raise some revenue. Chicago has a huge, huge financial hole. They want Illinois to bail them out. We are not going to do that. We can't afford to do that. So if they got a casino, that would generate $400 or $500 million a year for them. That would help fill financial problem without the state having to do that. And frankly, a city the size of Chicago should have a casino. That would help attract more conventions, more tourism. So a gaming bill would be good. And the revenue from gaming would be used to pay for the rest of the capital plan that is short. Monies that are needed for Northern Illinois University, monies that are still waiting for in Rockford, money for the AER at the Rockford Airport. Those are all monies that are tied to the capital plan that need a revenue stream to pay so they can issue the bonds. So a gaming bill, one, creates jobs, keeps people in Illinois, and it generates revenue to pay for the capital plan. So those are certainly two areas that I'm going to work on and with others and try to get done as soon as possible.
When you're speaking of a gaming bill, you're talking about something that would authorize these sorts of casinos and more large-scale operations?
Right. So and the bill's been worked out in the Senate. We have bipartisan support for it as well. It would add five casinos, one in Chicago, one in South Cook on the Indiana border, because that's where the biggest leakage is going, one up in Lake County to counterbalance the big Indian casino that they're trying to build just over the border of Lake County, one in Danville on the Indiana border, because Indiana's building a casino down there to take our vote, our money, and then one in Rockford to stop what is being looked at building in Beloit. So there'd be casinos in those five areas. But in addition to that, there would be some involvement with the horse industry. The Arlington track, for example, would be allowed to have some slots there as a way to keep them financially sound and still in business. And there'd be a few other changes to the existing casinos around the state. But that would be, in essence, what the bill would include. And again, the per capita spending in gaming, Illinois is still lower than our surrounding states. And that's because, again, we've got over $1.5 billion a year are going to the surrounding states, who are intentionally building casinos right on the Illinois border to attract Illinois revenue and Illinois tourists. And that's what we need to stop.
Can you offer any specifics on the workers' compensation reform that you mentioned?
Sure. A couple of areas that really, I think, grind people, get people upset about workers' compensation, in which is Illinois is unique in. One of those is what's called causation. In Illinois, if an employee can claim that work caused at least 1% of that injury, then they can collect the full workers' compensation benefits from the employer. Even if, you know, the employee is hurt off the job, but then they come into work and then they say, oh, I hurt myself at work. In Illinois, interesting enough, Mondays is the number one day for workers' compensation claims to be turned into insurance companies. Now, why is that? Are people more likely to get hurt on Monday, or are they hurt on the weekends playing sports or working, and then they come in to work and then they say it's work-related? If people get hurt off the job, that's what disability insurance is for, not having the workers' comp pay for it by the employer. So changing the causation to say that, you know, it's that the injury has to be, you have to really show that the injury occurred at work for that benefit to be covered. That certainly is a big part of the workers' comp issue. Some of the small things that frustrate people right now is if a person gets hurt on the job but they test positive for drugs or alcohol, the employer has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that drugs and alcohol didn't cause that injury. Well, that's hard to do, and so in many cases, we get employees that get hurt on the job even though they've been drinking or they're on drugs, and the employer gets stuck having to pay salary and medical costs, and that needs to be changed. And to do what other states are doing, which is if you're on drugs or if you're drunk and you get hurt at work, you have to prove that drugs and alcohol didn't cause the injury. It's those kinds of changes, which are common sense changes, which 49 other states do, that Illinois needs to do. We're not talking about lowering benefits at all. When someone's hurt on the job, truly hurt on the job, they deserve to be paid for that. So none of the reforms talks about reducing benefits for people hurt on the job. It's just dealing with the fraud and the abuse that goes on in the workers' compensation field.
What are your thoughts on the status of state budget negotiations?
Well, I think there's progress, certainly in the Senate. I think there's bipartisan support, understanding that, as I mentioned earlier, for a budget to pass, we need to improve the jobs climate, because we can't tax our way into prosperity, but we can grow our way. Budget reform has to include some compromises on job reforms. I think right to work has been taken off the table now. The governor has compromised on that. Even prevailing wage, there's been compromises reducing that dramatically as well. And so the governor has moved on that. He's compromised and said, well, for sure we have to do some workers' comp and we have to do some of the regulatory issues. So that needs to be part of that budget solution. But we do that, and then, unfortunately, we're spending $5.5 to $6 billion more than revenue coming in. You can't cut that much out of a budget without making deep cuts in the education. That would mean dramatic increases in property taxes. That doesn't solve the problem. So we need to put the temporary tax back on, unfortunately, until the economy grows enough that we can have enough revenue that we could, you know, slowly reduce the tax in the future years. It should go on temporarily so we can prove to the voters that the money that they gave us was used right. Unlike Quinn, he put the temporary tax on, said he was going to use it to pay bills, old bills, and then when the bills were paid off, the tax would go off. We knew he was lying, and of course, he put the temporary tax on, and he didn't pay any bills. He expanded government, which put us into the mess that we're in. So we need to be honest that the budget has to say we put the temporary tax back on, but it's going to be used to pay bills, and it's going to be used until the economy grows, and then we'll put it temporary again, so we have to be prove to the voters that the money was used wisely. But putting the tax on doesn't close the budget gap. We're still over $1 billion short a year. That means there has to be some cuts in the budget as well. And that's not fun. It's not easy. But we have to make adult decisions, just like taxpayers have to do with their budgets. We have to go through and see where can we make cuts with causing the least amount of damage? Where can we make cuts, or where are there duplication of services, or where are the programs that we're not getting a great return on the dollar, that some of those programs have to be eliminated until the economy grows strong enough? So a budget has to include cuts, it has to include new revenue, and it has to include improving the jobs climate. And again, I think in the Senate, there's bipartisan support that we can make that decision. The governor, I think, is open to all those areas. And so right now it's really up to the speaker if he is open and willing to work out a compromise on those three areas.
How does the state budget, or lack thereof, affect Northern Illinois in particular?
Well, that's a great question. For the average person, the lack of a state budget doesn't really affect them. And the reason I say that is because priority programs are still operating. Law enforcement is still operating. You know, corrections is still operating. Schools are still operating. And core human service programs are operating. So for the average person, they don't really feel the problems of no budget. The ones that do feel it are those programs that aren't ordered by courts or aren't mandated by federal law. So you have a number of human service grant programs. Some of the higher education funding falls under that category. So those that are affected by the lack of a budget, they do feel it. And the fact that each month we're falling deeper into debt, because those mandated programs that continue even without a budget still have to be paid for. And so each month the cost of those government mandated programs is costing the taxpayers about $500 million more than what current revenue is coming in. So while it's just adding to the debt, that debt's going to have to be paid eventually by the taxpayers. So it is crucial that we get a budget passed and we stop, you know, digging the hole deeper in the state's debt.
Aside from the budget, what issues most directly affect the 35th District?
The biggest areas are our jobs, is retaining and trying to bring good, high-paying jobs back to the area. You know, we've lost a number of good manufacturing jobs, and while some of those have been replaced with service industry or retail, those aren't the kind of salaries that you can raise a family with dignity on. By improving our jobs climate, we won't see as much bleeding off to Indiana and to Wisconsin. And we won't see people giving up and leaving the area. So really, by improving the jobs climate, and that will have a big impact on manufacturers and in healthcare. Up in Rockford, Mercy Health is building a large new hospital in Rockford and attracting tens of millions of dollars of Wisconsin healthcare coming to Illinois. Now, that's unique that people would be coming to Illinois for health care, but that's a good model of what's happening in Rockford right now with Mercy. We need to do more of those things that can bring out-of-state residents, out-of-state people coming for business, coming for retail, coming for health care, coming to Illinois. as a district, improving the jobs climate is crucial because, again, it affects business, it affects healthcare, it affects local government costs. So those are crucial. And then the infrastructure, one of the good things Illinois has going for it is we're centrally located. We have a great infrastructure system with our highways and our rail and air. We need to keep that strong because that's what is going to attract those good jobs, and keeping our infrastructure in place is certainly a priority as well.
Are there any counties or municipalities in the district of particular concern?
I think all the areas have concerns, and many of those are economic related, and many of those are just, and it's not just, of course, just economics, but so much evolves around economics, because if you don't have the economic growth, the business growth, then government relies more on residential property taxes to fund core services of education and law enforcement. It's crucial that counties have that kind of economic growth. Otherwise, they're forced to raise property taxes, which then becomes a cycle. You raise property taxes, people have less dollars to spend. It slows the economy down, or they get frustrated and they go to states that have lower taxes. Growing the economy is something every county is concerned about. And some of those, like in Boone County, where you've got one major employer that drives the entire county, it's vital that things stay strong for the Chrysler plant that's there. But obviously, same in DeKalb. We need to make sure Northern has the funding that it needs because it is a huge economic engine for that county. So each county has one or two really key industries or operations that is the lifeblood of those counties. And if those aren't going strong, then it affects the entire county.
Besides the budget and other issues we've discussed, are there any areas that you feel have been neglected at the state level?
Well, I think some of the areas that, a lot of it still is tied in with the federal government, is the health care issue. The results of Obamacare for working families has really been devastating in Illinois. The cost for those that aren't getting the subsidized or the expanded Medicaid, the cost of health care has gone up so much that has really devastated families. Their premiums have gone up and their deductibles have gone up, so they have less disposable dollars to spend on anything else, which is affecting the whole economy. So health care is vital. One out of four people in Illinois are on Medicaid, and in Illinois we are in the process of fully implementing a Medicaid managed care system that actually is working well. People are getting health care now, that, and it's actually being managed. So for example, when you have a pregnant mom that's on Medicaid under managed care now, that system meets with that mother regularly. They provide transportation for them to make sure they're getting to the doctor's office, that they're taking their prenatal vitamins, that they're counseled about what eating habits and smoking habits they have. And the end result is after about 2 years now of having this in place, we're actually seeing birth weights going up. Managing Medicaid to try to get a control on dollars and to get better outcomes is vital for Illinois, because healthcare is certainly the fastest growing cost for people. And by better managing that care, we do get better outcomes. We get healthier constituents, and that's important. So continuing to work on how we can get better healthcare outcomes is crucial. And that's something that the whole state has to address, because when with the obesity problem that we have in our schools today, it's affecting their ability to learn. It's driving up costs all the way through adults. And so we have to look at that. One of the areas, again, quickly, is our food stamp program, or our SNAP program. We keep talking about a problem of obesity, and yet our government food systems allows people to get ice cream and potato chips and unhealthy foods, and we subsidize that as taxpayers. We need to have a SNAP program that says, we're going to provide food for you and your family, but we're only going to provide healthier foods, so we're not we're not adding to the problem of obesity in this state and in this country.
With the increasingly partisan atmosphere in both state and national politics, in what ways would you reach across the aisle?
And a lot of that, unfortunately, it's overplayed, I think, in the media. In Springfield, every year, you know, there are hundreds of issues that are addressed bipartisanly. I meet with my counterparts almost every day talking about issues, and we reach agreement on many issues. And it's always those one or two issues where there's disagreement that people focus on, but there are many other things that there is a compromise being met that just don't get reported. You're always going to get differences of opinion. That's why we have elected officials. If everyone agreed with everyone, there'd be no need to have elections. And so it's okay to have differences of opinion. The goal in the end, though, is can you sit down and reach a compromise on those areas? And historically, we've been able to do that. It's just been a problem with this last year with the speaker, but I'm hoping that that will change now, because everybody in both parties knows that Illinois can't continue down the path that it's been on for the last decade. We can't spend more than we take in. We have to stop the out-migration of jobs, and we have to improve the in-migration of jobs. So everyone knows we need to do that. The problem is just trying to get the politics out of the way of doing what's right. I hope we can get there. Like I say, in the Senate, we do that a lot. I don't always agree with President Cullerton on issues, but he meets with us regularly, and we work out issues, and the Senate's been able to pass some things that were bipartisan, and I'm hoping that this new year will get a little better cooperation from the House, and we can have those same outcomes. But there are many, many issues that people just don't see that do get worked out bipartisanly, and we do meet regularly with our counterparts.
Finally, is there anything else you would like to add?
I'm excited about Illinois' future. I know people get frustrated, but I think we need to understand that the core fundamentals are there. We're centrally located. We have a great infrastructure in place. We have a great workforce in place. The only thing that's missing is just improving the jobs climate so we can attract and maintain those jobs here. And I think that's going to happen. It's kind of like buying a stock low. Those that stuck it out in Illinois are going to benefit from the turnaround. And I think Illinois has that ability to get back to the greatness that it had in the past when we were one of the economic giants, not just in the country. Illinois was one of the economic giants in the world. And there's no reason why we cannot get there, both in manufacturing, in education, in healthcare. We can do that because we have what it takes to do it. And I just think we're a couple adult decisions away from making that happen. And I guess I'm hopeful that 2017 will be the year that Illinois reaches that compromise and we get that done. And then we'll see unprecedented growth. So I'm excited about 2017. I think it's going to be a great year for Illinois.